Hi, y'all. I'm Julie.
Hi there. I'm Brenda. Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side.
Now, y'all need to know that we're obsessed with everything on the other side.
Yes, we are. Because once you learn to navigate the energetic, or to some, the invisible world, life is going to be more fun and much more serene.
Heck yes, it can. Because let's be honest. Bryn, Earth School is hard. In fact, you taught me that.
Let's crush Earth School together.
Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, my witchy poo. How are you this fine day? And it's finally a fine day.
It is a fine day. My outfit's so good to be with you again.
It's so good to be with you again. I like that. I like this. Very formal in a very weird way.
But it's a heartfelt. It is. I get to giggle with you today. Come on.
That's right. No, it doesn't. No, I have told you and everyone else who will listen that, you know, I do this podcast so I can see you all the time. So it is my selfish reason. And actually, this episode, when we get going here, is a fine example of how much I just love to hang out with you and listen to you, because you are most definitely an expert about where we're headed here. But before we go, I'm going to mention this on a lot of shows because I want people to just know what's happening is that because of you, everybody who has been so gracious and incredible about coming to see us at the store, whether you're just looking around or whether you really want something, that we have now relaunched the store. And it's and you can find us. You can find us the old way, but you can also find us at www.vibes.store.
That's V because, as in Victor, vibes.
V as in Victor, because everything has a vibration. And so we are growing. And we couldn't do it if not for you guys. So we
and there's
have a
so
lot
much
more
cool
offering.
Stuff there.
Oh, my gosh. So much cool stuff. I mean, I couldn't be happier. And the part I'm most proud of, to be perfectly honest, is actually the part you did, which is, you know, Brenda held all the pouches and all the malas and channeled an affirmation for them. And I think, like, nobody does that. And I love it. And I use them myself. So
they're good, right?
They're so good. I'm so happy. But I just want to let everybody know that. And I will continue to let you know more of like an intro housekeeping.
Shop talk. We'll call that shop talk.
Shop talk. We'll call it shop talk. I like that. Well, it's called Vibes, and we're calling it the metaphysical supply store because that just sounds cool. And we're cool. At least in our own head, we're cool.
And you know, my elf likes to entertain herself.
So I do.
So awesome.
I do. We get. I do like to entertain myself. But anyway, so shop talk. So today, I've been begging my witchy poo for months to have a show about the Enneagram. And the reason I have been begging her for months to do it is A, I know she's an expert, but B, there's all these signs that keep coming. And I think this is a really great lesson, and don't ignore the signs.
We talk about this all the time.
Right. So I'm not ignoring the signs. And it's been really interesting because first it started happening because, you know, I fancy myself as somebody who has friends that cross every spectrum. And mm-hmm. I love that. And I have a group of friends that are younger. You know, they're more millennial, Gen Z, and they can't stop talking about the Enneagram. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, I'm a this with a that wing, and I'm a blah, 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 blah. And they sound fairly proficient in it. I mean, at least they've read a book or something. So that has been happening for a while. And then with a couple weeks ago, one of our like wonderful listeners tagged me in her Instagram post, and it was her Enneagram. And I'm like, okay, done. And I wrote, because she ended up writing me and asked me about the Enneagram. I said, here's the thing. We're going to do an Enneagram show. We have to. So, and this is an area that I am not that familiar with. I've taken a test, and it was hilarious because I think it showed my number in my wing, or however you say it. Brenda will correct me, because I hurried through it and didn't read the questions. So there's that. But when I was working, I know. But when
I was
working, it's so classic, right? It's a classic elf move, an impatient elf. But during my working career, I had taken a lot of different tests,
assessments,
not this one in particular,
yes.
Assessments, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like we did the DISC test, mm-hmm. the DISC.
DISC, very popular.
And it was great for me. And what I loved about it is I learned so much about who I was, and not just in the boardroom, so to speak, but also in the real world. And so I thought this would be a really great opportunity because I want to learn too, folks. So I am you right now. I just have the luxury of looking at the beautiful Brenda while she'll talk about it. But I'm here to learn as well. And I have my pen clicked and ready to roll. So I think maybe the best way to start, Bren, if you wouldn't mind, why don't you give us just a little bit of your background on how you got started and how you've been doing it. Your origin story, your Iron Man story.
My Iron Man story with the Enneagram is that my beloved found the Enneagram first, and he had a friend who came up from Louisville and had lunch with us. I don't remember her name. I don't remember anything except he brought out his book on the Enneagram, and I was in. Like, I didn't really even enjoy lunch that much, to tell you the truth.
But, wait, you didn't enjoy food?
Like, I didn't, like, the conversation, it just, you know, I was like, oh, I want to get out of here. But the book, yeah, I totally.
You're an introvert.
I grabbed that, and I was like, there's something here. Plus, it's just seeing the symbol, y'all need to look it up, because I can use words to describe it, but I'm not going to take the time to do that. But it's just this beautiful shape that's kind of. Like it kind of activates something in my cells. I was like, ooh, I need to learn more about that. And then I didn't for a really long time. But for over 10 years, I studied for a couple of years, read, had teachers that, you know, the way to learn the Enneagram. And then I started sharing it and started teaching it. And I've been teaching it for at least a decade. And every time I teach it, I learn something because I get to talk to people about their type. So first of all, let's just back up a minute. And, you know, when we have these assessments that we do either at work or working with therapists, a lot of therapists work with the Enneagram as well. So some people will run into it in the business world, some people will run into it in their personal world. And the assessments measure three parts of our mind: our intellect, right, measured through the IQ, the affect, how we feel and what we value, is measured by DISC, by Myers-Briggs, by the Enneagram. And then we have a cognitive part of the brain that says our preference for how we get into action, and that's measured by the Kolbe assessment, which I also love and have been trained in. So this is what we're working on today, is the Enneagram. And it's this weird word, right? Enneagram. Because when you say it and people don't know it, they're like, excuse me, what'd you say? Is that really a word? Did you just like blend two words together? did you mess up? Because it doesn't sound like a real word unless you're familiar with it. Enneagram means nine, and gram means map. So it's this map of nine different types of approaches to the world, of coping mechanisms that we find. So that's just out of the gate. So now you're like, oh, it's a map. And my elf has a question.
Because when I looked at the word for the first time, uh-huh. I was thinking about Enya, the musician, and Graham meaning weight. And I'm like, why are they weighing her? That's not fair.
It's exactly what I'm talking about. Thank you for that very specific example. That in 12 years, I have not heard that one. That's good. Thank you.
It is my pleasure.
So basically, you get your Enneagram type because we were all kids, right? And you know, kids are so flippin' smart. They don't miss a beat. And they look around at their family of origin and they figure out, how am I going to have the most status in this? How am I going to succeed, or how am I going to have status in this family system? Okay, they may not use those words, you know. And status could be, A, how do I survive? It could be, how do I, you know, get a later bedtime? Like, you know, the things that would motivate a kid that says, so that I can be successful in the system that I have. And so then we develop. So in some ways, we actually lose ourselves in that moment that we figure out what we have to give in order to get. Does that make sense? And so
wait, were you asking me a question? Because it does. Okay. Since I'm the one that's going to respond to you right now.
Okay.
Is it actually makes sense. And I have a question on top of that, if you don't mind me asking it. Mm-hmm. Which and I think anybody who's ever done work with all of these different modules, I don't know what
assessments.
To call them. Assessments. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You've actually said it to me now twice.
It's
so
fine.
I should probably
it's
write
fine.
Down assessments. Don't screw that up, Julie. Okay. But this is actually legit. This isn't a joke. Is when you look at some of these, and you were just walking through kind of Myers-Briggs and DISC, I'm curious, like, and what drew you to it, too, is I know about, like, there's personality things. Like, personalities are who you are from birth till death, right? There's other things, like when we talk about archetypes. Archetypes is still us, but it's how we see the world at that time. Well, so Enneagram.
Yeah, but archetypes we identify with, they exist on their own in the world.
Right. So where does Enneagram fit in this kind of the...
So what happens is, like, for different phases of our lives, we can identify with one archetype, and then we move out of that role, we move out of that phase of our life, and then we identify with another archetype. But that's not the case for the Enneagram. So the Enneagram, how you are assessed, hopefully you're using a really good assessment. There are really bad ones out there, and they're usually free.
But you get what you pay for, people. Exactly. You get what you pay for.
But so what happens is that this is why I can study it for 12 years. I can study the Enneagram and still keep learning more and more, because people are complex. And so your type, you won't change type, but there's a low side of a type, a high side of a type, and a medium side of the size, medium phase of the type. And like that expression changes. And in the image itself of the Enneagram, there are lines that you can move along. You can learn to take up more space on the Enneagram, because remember, like this whole show, right, is called The Other Side, right? So the spiritual, remembering we have this spiritual part of us. And when we develop these patterns to succeed in our family system, we actually diminish and sacrifice a little bit of our spirit, because we come whole, fully charged. And then the family says, yeah, we don't care about that part. Take it down a notch, right? So I'm like, okay, I won't do that one because it won't get me anything. And so then we get rewarded for our type. If our type didn't work for us, we would have dropped it and tried something else. So our type works for us. But just like going to the gym, you overstrengthen one muscle, you create a weakness someplace else. And so really working with the Enneagram is helping you remember who you are fully and bringing you home. So that's really the journey of the Enneagram.
Oh, I love that. And also, what I love about all of these is that it helps us understand the people around us, too.
Oh, and it builds so much compassion for ourselves and for each other. And that, to me, is the biggest power of working with the Enneagram with different people in different groups. So with that, we're going to take a break.
Oh, my God, let's take a break, Brenda. Oh, wait, you got to it before I did. Damn it.
How to Citizen with Baratunde is a podcast where we participate in our democracy, invest in our relationships, and harness our people power. And all of that sounds great, but it's so hard to do when we're so divided. In season 2, we're taking on that division, and not in the cheesy Republicans and Democrats should grab a beer together type of way. No, this season, we're going deeper. We're talking about the money, because wealth inequality is tearing us apart. And to be real, it's hard to citizen when you can barely pay the bill. I know there's another way. So who's creating the wealth that isn't powered by racism? Who's making it easier for me not to give all my money to Jeff Bezos? And who's making sure people aren't working 3 jobs just to pay rent? This season, we're gonna find out. Listen to How to Citizen with Baratunde on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hey you, it's Nicole Lapin, New York Times bestselling author, the only financial expert you don't need a dictionary to understand, and now the host of the new iHeartRadio daily podcast, Money Rehab. So here's the deal. I'm going to rehab your money so that you can get your financial life together once and for all. Invest your time in listening to Money Rehab. I promise you the ROI will be worth it. And if you don't know what that means, then you should definitely subscribe. Find Money Rehab on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hi, everybody. We are back from my break. not really. You guys know. You guys know me too well by now. Like, nobody's going to believe that crap coming out of my mouth.
There's no Julie break.
There's no.
Like, go, 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 go.
Yeah, forget a break. Who needs a break? I had an old boss one time, which was so hilarious. And I know, Brenda, I've told you this about this years ago, but he used to say, he was a worker, and he would have us work, and he'd be like, we can sleep when we're dead. That was his big comment.
Oh,
and then finally I realized.
So many people say that.
You can sleep when you're dead. It's like, actually, you don't sleep when you were dead. You don't seem to understand.
Jokes on you, babe.
Jokes on you. You better sleep now, because this is it. Anyway, I want to bring us back so Brenda can walk us through. Really, I think like an overview of the framework would be great. That would help me start to understand what these, since Enya means 9, I guess that we'll start with that. It's not a singer.
and it is not a singer. It can be. So I'll just give an overview of the nine types, and I'll just touch on like the flavor, the strength, and the gifts, as well as, you know, maybe a little bit of how they may have learned or been inspired to become their type. Right.
Wait, they have flavors? Like, can I choose cherry?
Only in pie.
We haven't talked about cherry pie in 9 months since keto. I miss it.
I bet you do. There has to be a keto version of pie somewhere waiting for you.
Not cherry. Anyway.
So just because, right, I teach Enneagram, that because I teach this in corporations, I teach it in, you know, in spiritual circles, I teach it, and I'm going to be doing an online class in the early summer, so... Just put a pin in it, and if in case you're interested.
I'm going to sign up, everybody. Just so everybody knows, if you have any interest to see what a total chaotic student I am, I will be taking this class with Brenda.
Oh, no.
So that means no one else is going to sign up.
Oh, no.
Or everybody wants to sign up. I don't know. It's one or the other.
Oh, my God. You just changed the dynamic class completely.
You're welcome.
Okay. So the thing about the nine types is that they're broken into three groups with three types in each. So... Because of that, I'm going to start with two, which doesn't make any sense, but it does make sense if you know the Enneagram. So two, three, and four, type two, threes, and two, three, and four are part of the heart triad. So these people are they lead with their emotions. They process things emotionally very easily compared to the other six types. And in this particular triad, when something goes wrong for any of the two, threes, or fours, their first instinct, they may not stay there, they may not wallow there, but their first instinct is shame. Like, oh crap, did anyone see that? Like, that's their first thing. Now, all of us have that aspect. But what the twos are known for is always scanning to see what other people need. How can I help you? How can I help you? How can I help you? These are people you don't want to be on a team or in a situation where you're doing an event or something like that or a project without a two, because you need people to help you, right? And they're just so kind, very gentle-hearted, and very gifted. What they need to work on, of course, is boundaries, because they will end up staying up all night because they've worked on everybody else all day and now they're behind on their own work. So their challenge or invitation to regain their spirit, their full spirit, is boundaries, so that they can focus on their own things every once in a while. It doesn't take away from their generosity, just need to do it in the right proportions. Then we move on to the threes. The threes are the center of the heart triad, two, three, and four. And the threes are the ones that you never want to be on a project without a three, because the threes always get it done. They are the workhorses of the Enneagram. They move fast. You show them a deadline and they crush it. I suspect my alpha is a three. They love to be in motion and they don't mind breaking things once in a while just to get it done because, hey, it's not their fault that rule was there and it was the fastest way. That's what they do. Somewhere they learned growing up that they are only as valuable as what they do and not who they are. And so their invitation, which my elf has learned this over and over, particularly once you left corporate world, you of course started this part of your journey in the corporate world, but when you left, you really doubled down and created the spaciousness from within and knew how to access that stillness and see the value of it, even though externally there was no reward. There was no goal. There was no celebration. Yay, you crushed it again. It wasn't like that. But you could feel the affirmation from within, right?
Yeah. And I speaking as perhaps a three, that, and I for other threes out there, I think that what I would say was what I was able to strive for and find. And I just have had these conversations because we just got back from Hilton Head and we had 2 weeks to, I don't know, kill time. Can't really do stuff when you're away like that. And I've had these conversations with people that busy, busy, busy. And it's like, have the conversation about, it's about finding peace. And the value of feeling peace when you've been so busy and like strung out and all of those things. And there's still really great things that come along with it when you're fully in it.
It's amazing.
But boy, nothing's like peace. I mean, but just feeling a peace.
Threes crush any topic, any, you know, I always say I was raised by a three with a three wing.
That's why I've always, always loved your mother.
Exactly. You and my mom, right? You're just right in sync because she won her national sales award every year for like 20 years. And you know, like she just crushed it. What's the goal? Crushed it. What's the goal? Crushed it. Like that's what she would do. They would change it every year because there were years she got paid more than CEO. And they're like, we can't have this. She's like, okay, change the rules. No problem. I'm still going to crush it.
I love Sandy. She's my girl. She's my hero.
They're so capable in the world, but they need to learn how to be able to relax and know their true value is in their state of being, not just in doing. And then we move on to the fours. And the fours are the exquisite, sensitive child that always is sensitive throughout their whole lives. But as a child, they'll be told, you're too much, take it down a notch. Nobody cares about that. They're just overwhelmed with these intense emotions. One of my fours in the corporate world, and I have to say, you don't find that many fours in the corporate world because it's so externally driven and harsh. And yeah, it's really intense for someone who is completely emotionally dialed in and has such dexterity. No, I'm not stressed. I'm perturbed, you know, like they know the difference between the two. And most people are like, well, it's either good or bad. What's your problem, right?
Where do you find fours, in the work world?
In creative endeavors, in heart-centered endeavors. So a lot of nonprofits, a lot of artistic people are fours. They're known as the individualistic. So they do things their own ways. And so if you go to like a craft show, you know, those exquisite giant craft shows that we can't do right now because of the pandemic, but like it's filled with people as you walk down these aisles, aisle after aisle, I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing. Like, how do you even think to create that and then be able to? Wow. Like those are the fours. They just have a unique connection and you can feel their heart in everything they create. So,
and which is why it is so important when you're dealing with an artist, because that was my career for years of dealing in world of art, whether it was the art in advertising, because there's a lot of creativity in there, the art in film, right? And it is about, you know, that balance of knowing how to communicate, because they get insulted so easily and their feelings get hurt so easily.
Well, when they're creating a pitch, it's their body of work. And so when you're giving them feedback, they're like, you don't understand.
Right? You're exactly, yeah.
So if you do find fours in the corporate world, it's going to be in advertising, in agencies, in design, that sort of thing. Yeah, without a doubt. So then we move to our next triad, which is the 5, 6, and 7. And these are known as the head triad. So these are the brainiacs of the Enneagram. Okay. And they love information. They figure things out. They're very strategic. They turn things over. And when things go wrong, because our school is hard, right? First emotion they run into is fear. And they go into lock it down. Right? Because they're super smart. They're used to setting the pace. They're used to driving things and, moving things forward according to a plan. And when that plan blows up or something else, you know, interferes with it, then they're like, oh, there's not a plan. Shut it down.
Right? Oh,
does this make
that's
sense?
That's fascinating. You know, and I bet that those fives mm-hmm. are probably having a terrible time in navigating business during the pandemic because there's no book, right?
There's no book. Yeah. But they're super smart. And the thing about fives, so fives are they are so strategic and they love data. You can't give them too much information. They're like, send it to me. You won't ever hear back from them. Oh, thank you. That really helped me move this project forward. But all of a sudden you'll see something come out of their office, something, you know, get started. And you're like, oh, I can see my report all over that. Because they just take it and consume it and put it to work right away. They're super smart that way. Not overly communicative. They live rich inner lives.
I've never heard that, but I love that so much. It's instead of like, you need to learn how to communicate. It's like, I understand you live a rich inner life. That's genius.
Right? And sometimes it's like, you have to, you know, remind them, use your words, because they're just thinking, and you can see them just spinning. It's so funny because the Enneagram, and one way of learning the Enneagram is through panels where you bring in, you know, like 5 2s, 5 3s, 5 4s, you know, you just bring in these panels of people to let people hear the different takes, because these are not cookie cutters, right? We're all individuals. We have our own take, but the blueprint of these very, you know, high level gifts that I'm talking about are part of it. But traditionally, the fives won't show up because they're, again, they have this rich inner life. I'm not going to take time out, because they learned somewhere growing up that resources can be mismanaged, and that boundaries are their friends and they always have lots of resources. One of their, you know, time and money and attention are their top resources to lock down and make sure they have enough of. These are people who need to decompress the minute they come home. I have one leader that I work with who used to live 45 minutes away from home, so he would have that drive to relive his day. So like, because he's just deep, you know, just downloading everything, because they don't process things in the moment. They need time to do it afterwards. So that's the five. Moving on to the six, when we come back from this break.
Damn it, another Brenda break.
With 24/7 customer service and guaranteed repairs, your Progressive policy works the way it's supposed to. Unlike this stressful meditation guide.
Take a deep breath. Focus on all the things you have to do. Did someone make the vet appointment yet? You don't know? That feels like something you should know.
Switch to Progressive today.
You are a mess.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Repairs through Progressive Network. Shops guaranteed for as long as you own or lease your car.
Why do you get deja vu? Why are you attracted to symmetrical faces? And why do you listen to songs that bum you out? I'm Dessa, the host of a new podcast, Deeply Human.
Every function or thought or memory you have is like a relay race through your brain.
I'm tasked with finding out what we all want to know. Why do you do what you do?
You tend to sort of swim up to them and wiggle.
When you cry, it can sometimes like help you irrigate your emotions.
We were attempting to induce deja vu through virtual reality.
I will always wonder why I didn't say what was clearly obvious.
The socks stay on, and I don't know what you can do to get somebody's socks off.
Can a better understanding of human nature help us be better people and treat other people better too? I'm exploring our weird habits, our buried fears, and our big loves. So join me for Deeply Human, a BBC World Service and American Public Media co-production with iHeartMedia. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, we are back. And apparently we're going to talk about the number six right
talking
now.
About the six.
We're talking about the sixes.
And really, Matt, this is right. This is the heart of the head triad, the five, six, and sevens. And the sixes are the ones who, you know, when I worked in the financial industries in 2008, you could see all the sixes rise up in the organization, because sixes are amazing in a crisis. They're the ones who kind of look around and they're super fun. They're super funny. And they kind of like a good conspiracy theory. You know, they're not sure they always trust the you know, leaders. They're not sure like the motivations are true. They love information. They're going to find out about it. But just in case what's happening doesn't work, because remember, the whole thing is I have a plan, and then the sixes will go, and here's a plan B, and here's a plan C, and here's, you know, G, H, I, H, I, G. Sorry, I'm so dyslexic.
Brenda just rewrote the alphabet, everybody. You're welcome.
That is not part of the Enneagram. It's just part of my charm. But so they're the ones that during the pandemic, they shine, because they're like, you know what? This team was actually ready for this, because, you know, I thought it might happen. Like, that's how they work. That's how they roll. So it's super great to have a six on your team, because they'll cover your back.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, of course.
Is there a relationship and like good working relationships between certain numbers? Like, as you're talking about the sixes and me being an alleged three, I see a three and six. Like, hell yes, I want a six partnered with me,
right,
because I think we would do great.
Well, threes are like, go, 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 right? And sixes are like, you go. And then when you hit a wall, I got six plans here to back you up.
Yes, yeah, that's, yeah. Well, right. But
and
also,
the other thing is, I will say this about the you know, the shape of the Enneagram is that the three and six are connected by a line. So sometimes, my elf, when you get out ahead of yourself, you'll be like, oh, crap. And then you come back and you start making contingency plans. So you move to the six with ease, right? Mm-hmm. And you don't have to go there very often, but every once in a while, you're like, oh, crap. And a lot of times when you move to the six, you like phone a friend. What would you do if this happened? Because I have a friend, right? So
that's... I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah, exactly.
That if allegedly they tried to do this, what would happen? Yes. Yeah, and you know who the phone a friend I call is Peter.
Yes, exactly. That's
he's my phone a friend.
Yep. Without a doubt.
So everybody knows he's this brilliant data scientist, like brilliant.
Yep, and he's probably a six.
And he's my phone a friend.
Well,
that's
he's
amazing.
Probably at least in the head triad. That's what I'd say. And again, sixes also have a great sense. Five and sixes have a great spidey sense. Because again, fives like to see around corners. So they're planning for 5, 10 years down the road. You're like, how'd you know to do that? Just a lucky guess. That's what they say.
Oh my God, I love them.
I know.
So they're sandbaggers.
They're totally sandbaggers.
Tell you. Oh, yeah, I'm sandbagging your ass. I'm not going to tell you.
Exactly. Because they actually think no one else is smart enough to really do this. So then we move on to the sevens. And the sevens are so much fun. I always say, like, I never want to be on a project without a three. I never want to be at a party without a seven. They are so charming and so much fun. And they are called the epicure because they go through life just gathering information. They're like, oh, and stories and experiences. And when you talk to seven, sometimes it sounds like they've lived seven lives in one lifetime because they just keep moving. Now, the reason they keep moving is because something happened. And again, I don't think I mentioned this, but your Enneagram type is actually set definitely by the age seven. Some people will say age five, but it's somewhere, right? And so they had some significant experience before that age that was somehow hard for them to process, and probably a little mini trauma, if not big trauma, that said, I know this is big. I'm a kid. I don't have the capability or the capacity to process this. So I'm just going to keep moving and distracting myself so that it doesn't consume me because this thing, this experience is bigger than I am. So I'm going to learn to just keep moving. And, you know, this is why people love working with sevens and being around sevens because they're so much fun because they avoid anything that is unpleasant. And the ways they do this is they always overcommit so that they have options. So if I'm at a party and it's not so fun, I have at least three more parties on my schedule that I said yes to that I can show up and I'll be expected. So this is an extreme example. But
I know sevens because of that example. I'm okay. Like, oh, crap, they just all showed up. I totally know who they are.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a really great description of a seven.
And they're magical. And their challenge, of course, is to slow down, be present, and know that it's okay to be uncomfortable emotionally, mentally, physically, and this too shall pass, and they are bigger and can make choices to take care of themselves when that happens, and that they don't have to constantly avoid it.
I have some phone calls to make after this recording.
Oh, I'm so glad to connect with
people. I do.
And a lot of people will remember what the incident is. A lot of people won't, right? Because they've stuffed it down so much. They've avoided it for so much. They're like, oh yeah, that doesn't exist. Never mind. So then we'll go to the top triad, our last three types. And it is the 8, 9, and 1. So I didn't forget the ones, but they go in the top triad. And so these three types are the body triad or the instinctual triad. And these are the ones who just, they process a lot of information through their body. And when something goes wrong in their world, the first emotion they'll run into is anger. Sometimes rage, but usually anger. Like they just get pissed. So they'll, like the eights, the first one of the body triad, eights love to swear. So they'll be, you know, dropping F-bombs and, you know, but they don't really get overly attached to it because eights have...
I love eights. I don't know why. Fuck, I love eights.
But you don't swear when you're angry.
No.
Right? You swear playfully and mm-hmm. eights will swear when they're angry and it'll be like, boom, you know, and it can hit a group like, oh my God, this is so intense. Eights carry such energy in their bodies and they literally have they have energetic reserves. They can work all night and not have it be a big deal. They can work all day, not take a pee break, not eat. And, you know, because they have these reserves and they can override their biological needs. It's kind of freaky.
Holy crap. Wait, sleep, right?
Yeah.
Sleep is okay. Wow. I just had a big fat wow. And P.S. not me at all. But God, I've worked for some eights.
Oh,
I really have in my life. Have I worked for some eights? And it was always a mystery to me because I am, and they've mainly been men. In fact, I can only think of men who were eights that I worked for and loved them. P.S. Love them.
Oh, yeah.
But they were 4-hour sleepers.
Yeah.
That was it. And I know, I can't tell you how many 4-hour sleepers I have worked for in my life and I couldn't understand.
Yeah. Because it was,
I didn't get it.
Right. And they probably slept a lot on the weekends. They probably slept, you know, but or slept more, maybe not a lot, but they slept more on weekends. They're super charming. They're disarmingly charming.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, and smart. And
they trick your shit out, man. They trick you.
Traditionally, they are the name for the aides is called leader, because it's, again, a very traditional business model of a leader. Or protector, because what they saw when they were young was something that was unfair or unjust. And it could have been at home, it could have been at school, it could have been somewhere in the community, right? But they saw something that they were too little to influence. They knew that it was bigger than them, but somewhere clicked in their head, when I'm big, that's never going to happen on my watch. And so they have a really protective, they treat their team like family. They have a protective nature about them. And like it's a mama bear situation. Like you cross them in the wrong way, boom, they'll hip check you. They're like, no, not on my team. Mm-mm, that doesn't happen here. And so people sometimes get scared of them. So then we move to the nines, the top.
But that works for them.
Right.
Those you know, it's really a protective impactful. Thing. It's like if it's, you know, you can have two people that can walk down the same alley with, right? And one of them is going to get harassed and the other one won't. Mm-mm. And it's that energy that they carry on why they don't.
Yep. Yeah. They're the ones that just look at you and you're like, never mind. I wasn't going to say anything. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really intense. Yeah. They're super energetically impactful. Is how I'd say that. And then there are the nines on the top of the Enneagram. And the nines are the ones who, they are the harmonizers. They are the very balanced and restoring harmony and peacefulness. So they're the ones who weave through an organization and smooth things out. And they're great mediators because they listen to all sides. They really validate everybody that's there and, you know, treats everyone like they matter. What a concept. And of course, their shadow side is that they can blend in and not acknowledge that they have needs of their own. And so this is their challenge is to stay aware of their own needs, their own pain, their own load that they have to carry, and not just be concerned about making sure that the environment's really healing and, you know, welcoming to everybody else. And acknowledging. So it's really handy to have a nine on the team, right? Because they're not going to be overly self-promoting. Like sometimes every, you know, corporate teams can get like, look at me, my team's best. And they'll be like,
actually, yeah. anybody can be, they don't even be in corporate. I mean,
right.
You can
that's true.
Very true, be especially. Part of a shift at KFC.
Yeah,
yes, I would like some fried chicken right now.
Well, KFC is corporate.
Well, but at the store. Yeah. But they can. It's like anytime there's a group, you can, you know, that
exactly.
exists, right?
Exactly. And then
I'm dying to hear about the one. I'm literally want to hear now, like, why is the one who's the number is first, but you're addressing them last? And I want to know why.
Could be just because of the triads. It's usually presented in triads. So, I mean, I could have started another one today, but it's against my nature. So, so the ones wrap up the body triad, and the ones are known as the perfectionist. They are the ones, it doesn't matter what you present to them, they will be able to make it better. That's how they just look at things. And it's not that they're hypercritical. It is what they learned, that the world is messy and it needs to be improved. And you are charged with improving it. I love this story about the ones where one of my Athena sisters at Procter & Gamble said, she said, my mom, she goes, oh, that's totally me. My mom, when I brought home one of my first report cards that had letter grades, not just satisfactory, right? And I got an A and I was so proud of it. And I got home and my mom looked me straight in the eye and said, did they give away all the A pluses before you got there?
Don't.
That is how you make a one, right?
Whoa.
That whatever you bring home, if it is not perfect, it's not good enough. And
Wow. That's
what they learn. Trying isn't good enough. You know, getting an A isn't good enough. It has to be an A+. Otherwise, get back in there, right? That's
holy
what you learned.
Moly.
I know, it's super intense.
And okay, so
this woman has a mind that she can make anything better. Like, it's not a bad thing. As long as you can do it in a way that is, you know, brings in your own humanity and acknowledges the humanity of the others, right? That's super
Wow. Important. That's okay. So the one at the end was great to wait because that was that blew my mind.
I know.
But, and again, I know this is fantastic. I know these people. Okay, I have a question. I know that, and I have to use my own experience to ask the question, but I remember when I took the DISC test and the way that they set, I guess they set these assessments up. I said it right this time.
Yeah,
I wrote it down.
Good word.
Thanks. That, like, for instance, I would behave differently under stress versus not under stress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think those are called wings maybe, or I'm not sure what they're called in Enneagrams, but like I learned that when I'm under stress, I'm terrible at details. Like that was the big thing that came out in DISC. It's like, when you're under stress, you don't do well with like the details, or maybe they're called facts. I'm not sure. You can be the judge, but I really am not stressed and don't really pay much attention
to. That's fantastic.
I'm illustrating my point right now. Exactly. But so I know that, you know, a lot of these assessments help us understand who we are and those around us when conditions change. Does the Enneagram do that as well?
It does. It's going to do it in a little different way. So thank you for that brilliant question. First of all, there are two schools of thought in the Enneagram. And if you do dive deeply into the Enneagram, you'll know that there are a lot of different interpretations, all of them rich in their own ways. And what you will find is, as a possible three, we'll call you a potential three, right? You have access to your wings. Your wings are the types on either side of you, right? So you have a two and a four potential wing. And so your ability to dive into either one of those, strongly helping others, which obviously is a generous elf you do, and the four wing, which is the artist wing. I have my space filled with things created by you. You know, I'm looking around, seeing them right now. So, right, you move in between those two wings. And most of us, when they talk about one wing preference, you know, we do have our preference, but that's the goal is always to expand your real estate on the Enneagram map. So we would encourage people to work with both of the energies of their wings. And then as a three, you have a line that moves to six and a line that moves to nine. So we, again, would want you to be working like with that. Okay, let me have alternative plans. Let me have backup plans, which I know you do, my dear elf, because we were talking about some of those backup plans before this time, before this episode.
Yes, we were.
We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We can, you know, do it this way, that way. And then the nine is when you actually, I've seen you do this a lot, where you move into a very neutral mode where you ask a lot of questions about other people, right? And that's your beautiful movement to nine. So, and there are some schools that would say, you know, when you're stressed, you'll move to six. When you're not, you move to nine. And then there are other schools of thought that reverse that, that say, when you're really chill, you move to six and create other things. When you're stressed, you move to nine and you don't do anything. Because one of the shadows of the nine is they don't get anything done because they can't decide things because there's so many opinions, right, moving on. You're moving around them. They're like, I can't decide. But I actually think that's a little bit of a fallacy because I think the nines always know when they're given a window of opening. They always know.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Because as you're talking, I'm actually like checking my own spidey sense about some of these things, you know, and that feels right because, I mean, I can just tell you from my own experience is like, you know, I seek guidance with the understanding that I don't know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I seek guidance because I need other opinions. I actually want to hear what other people say. I mean,
and
I don't agree with them.
And that's that movement to nine, right?
I want to hear it. In fact, been going through that, you know, with our new Vibes brand and things that we're doing with that. And that's going to explode too.
Completely new, right? Yeah.
Completely new, exactly. Yeah. But need opinions because one is not enough.
And I imagine if you go back to you at 20, you probably didn't do that as much.
No.
You're probably like, we're going to try this because I think so.
Correct.
Right? And that's you moving to a higher, more mature version of the three, right?
So, which I think is that's what happens. Yeah. My guess is that that's what happens throughout the entire Enneagram, right?
Exactly.
Like you can see
if you're paying attention. Yes.
Well, actually, that's fair.
Yeah, because it's not a given.
It's not a given. Yeah. It is not. I mean, yeah, I've seen people who were the same way at 16 that they are at 55.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So that's the introduction to the Enneagram, very high level. Obviously, there are volumes and volumes written on each one of these types, and it's such a beautiful journey. I hope you'll dive deeper.
I'm not done yet. We're not done. I have a couple more questions. I'm not done. Well, we're just going to drag it out, but they're quick. Because I want people to truly understand your devotion to this work. That and I think it's fair to say this, and you can cut it out later if you don't want me to say it, but you, for the most part, have kind of written your own book on this. Like, it's not published, but you have worked so much and learned so much through it that you know the different things that you know, professionals, you know, maybe argue about, disagree, whatever you want to call it. But you've kind of written your own manual, your own book on it to really help guide people through it. Is that a true statement?
It would be a very short book, but it's, I don't know, whatever it is, 50.
Just call it a book.
It's 80. It's a document. So what people want to know, particularly not exclusively to the corporate world, is like, how do I work with other types? Right, because I go through this journey with teams in the corporate world. When I teach in the spiritual domain, it's not that way. But people still want to know how to work with each other, especially in couples. You know, and so it's a document that says, as your core type engaging with this other core type, you may want to keep in mind this, this, and this. And this is how you're going to get tangled up and trigger each other. And this is how you're going to find the sweetness. And remember, one of the power, you know, superpowers of the Enneagram is I have compassion for myself that developed these types and overused them, as just like everybody else did. So I'm going to work to find my compassion for the other person and that type's lessons, right?
The reason I brought that up, because I think it's really important that, because I will absolutely take your class.
Okay.
I think you said in June. I know, I've wanted to for quite a while and I want to take it, but I also want to raise the flag to folks who actually do know a little something about it, but they use it as a badge. And that's kind of what I really saw in the world. You know, I'm a five, or I'm a three, or I'm a nine, I'm a seven with this wing. And it's very much, I think, kind of how the culture is these days, which it's like, this is my label, this is my badge. And I just think it's important for people to just acknowledge, it's like, okay, that's all fine and dandy to know that, but to really understand it, and how do I operate in the world with it? And I think that's the part, and I think that you bring to it, because you've talked to me about, you know, pieces of Enneagram for years now, and it is about that moving, right? Understanding your own movements and then understanding others' movements. To me, that's the magic, and that's also the spiritual part of it as well, because it gets into that piece of who we are. This isn't, there's not one single book that could ever be written on it, it seems, because we are so complicated. We are complex creatures. We are never the same thing every single day.
Right.
Because we interact with different energies.
Actually accounts for that. That says, you know, sometimes you're going to move to the six and this is what it's going to look like, or you move to the nine.
Yeah.
Like, I love that it accommodates our diversity within ourselves. Right. And so I love that.
I promise no more questions. That's really what I wanted to do, but I know
I'm
kind of drug the episode out a little bit. I love
sorry,
this so
Maya.
Much. Sorry, Maya, and listeners who don't want to like pay attention the whole time to this, but I love it. I love you. And I'm so grateful that you're doing this for us, for all of us,
well, like,
introducing it to us on the show, and also doing the work for the past decade that you have so dedicated yourself to. And I think it's important. And I think everybody who's listening right now, I hope, is doing it like a little clap on thank you, Brenda, because it's so important for us to find those ways that are structured for us to understand.
And I think what we'll do is we'll put on the website just a link that is very common to use. It costs $10 to take it. It's not free, but it's a very good assessment. It asks a lot of questions. You'll be annoyed by it, but it's okay. But it's a nice...
Or you won't read all the questions like I did and just wouldn't answer them anyway.
You have to read them. I recommend reading them. I will do that. It's not the assessment that I use in the corporate world, because that's a little more expensive, like much more expensive. But it's a very solid investment for $10 that I think you'll appreciate. To give it a go.
Hate it if we gave them both options, if somebody wanted to choose to go another route, or just want to keep
I can give the other option too.
Yeah, so people have options, you know, juice or milk.
Okay, juice or milk.
Juice or milk.
Chicken
wine
or
beer.
Fish, what do you want?
Chicken or fish, wine or beer, whatever. Hot tamales or Mike and Ike's.
What was it? What was the question you asked, Carrie? Fruity Pebbles or Cocoa Pebbles?
Yeah. And the answer is always Fruity Pebbles, unless you're Suzanne. Then it's Cocoa Pebbles.
Oh my goodness. All right. So that's our Enneagram Talk Chat. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, Her school is hard. Without your Enneagram type.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you, my witchy poo.
Thank you, my elf. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us, everyone. And a special thanks to our producer, Maya Cole, who guides us while we guide you.
Hit us up on Instagram at OtherSideGuides or shoot us a note at OtherSideGuides@iHeartRadio.com. And you can even call us at 833-22-GUIDE to leave us a message.
We want to know what you think, we want to know what you know, and we want to hear your stories.
And remember,
Earth School is hard
without the other side. Insider's Guide to the Other Side is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.